the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, eternal judge, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all the victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you folks to sit right in front of me, because I have some things to show you.
Is she always coming? I don't
want to see it.
Pardon? Is she always coming? Because I want to see
it. Yeah. Whenever she comes to church, she's always coming up here. So that's always a good thing. Well, today, in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says this line that just struck me as important to talk with you folks about today. It says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." Have you ever run a race? Who's run a race?
Well, at school.
Well, that counts. That counts. Who has ever gotten something that looks like this?
Oh, yeah.
From a race.
Yeah, I've done it.
You've done it? You know, today is the half marathon in San Diego. Did anyone have trouble getting to where you wanted to go this morning? Anyone have a detour because of... First Lutheran's parking lot is all closed off because they run right past there. They were wondering how people were going to get to church at all. The race is really important. But sometimes we don't win a race all by ourselves. We need help. So if you were going to run a marathon, which is a half marathon, which is over 13 miles of running, what would you have to do to get ready for that?
Train.
Train. And one way that people train is to have friends train with them. Even if a friend isn't going to run the race, but they run with them or practice with them and then give them encouragement. I want to tell you about somebody who knows what it means to have people help in order to run. Do you know Solveig?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Solveig is? She's one of our choir members. She's not here today. She's in Portland because she's helping her daughter move into her new house because she got a new job. You know what her job, what company her job is with? Nike. Have you ever heard of Nike?
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a cool job? She works in Nike and helps to develop new kinds of shoes so that people can run. But there's something special about Sarah. Sarah is Solveig's daughter, and she is a racer and a runner. That's what she does all the time, and she trains and trains and trains so that she can win prizes, but not just for herself. She wants to win prizes so that she can get money to give money to an organization called Challenged Athletes. Now, what do you think Challenged Athletes mean? What do you think? Yes, they make challenging choices. They're trying to win a race, but they're challenged. That means they've got something that is holding, for some people, would be holding them back. Well, Sarah had a big thing holding her back from being a racer. She only has one leg. So, it would be kind of hard to race with only one leg, right?
Yeah.
So she has a prosthetic leg that goes all the way up to here. And she wanted to help other people who don't have two legs to be able to run. So one thing she did, she made... Have you ever seen something like this? What is this called?
Teddy bear.
And look, this teddy bear has a leg just like Sarah has. Yeah. And she made it. Look at this. So when Sarah runs, that foot helps her run, and she can run. And boy, can she run. She has so many medals, and so, yes, and so many awards for her running. Trophies galore. I think that's why she needed her mom to help her move, because she's probably got rooms and rooms full of trophies. So Sarah wrote a book, and she said, and in her book, it's called In a Single Bound, because she only has one leg, so she can only jump one. That's her. Isn't she pretty? She is a runner, but one of the things that Sarah says in her book, and I think the letter in the Bible that says that we run the race that is set before us, one thing that Sarah says and the Bible says is we don't do it alone. Sarah needs a lot of help. She did a triathlon. You know what that means? You run, you ride a bike, and you swim all in the same race for miles and miles. And she did the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. So you swim in the ocean for 2 miles. I think it's 5 miles swimming. It's 25 miles biking. And it's more than that biking. 100 miles biking and 25 miles running all on the same day. All on the same day. And yes. Yes, you would be tired. Well, for Sarah, she needed help because when she swims, she has to take her leg off. And then she has to hop down to the water, and then she can swim like a fish really fast, and she can swim that all. But then she needs somebody to help her get from the water, and then she puts a different leg on that has a hook on it that she can get on the bike, and then she bikes. And then she has to take that bike leg off and put on another foot like this that has a special foot on it so that she can run. In the meantime, she's changing this shoe and she's changing her clothes and she's running. She needs all kinds of help that people can help her. And she won the race. She finished the race. Oh, she was born with a birth defect. She was born with a whole leg, but the bone right in here didn't grow. So this bone didn't grow. So she just had a baby leg on that. And even as she was getting older, that little leg wasn't growing. And she wanted, and she couldn't have a brace or anything that would help her because she wanted to play soccer and she couldn't run fast on that baby leg. And she said, there's got to be something else to do. So they took off that baby leg and gave her an artificial leg. She is a runner. She's a racer. But most of all, she is one that knows that you need other people in your life. You need help. She gave me a couple cards to give you so that you can have that one. You could have that one. You can have this one. That one. And I'll give you that one. You all have different cards.
How does she move
it? She moves it with her hip. And you have to learn how to do that. And that's what she's doing in her new job. She's helping people learn how to use these artificial legs. And she's designing shoes that go on these artificial feet. Uh-huh. She's got a lot of them. She has one that has a high heel on it. So when she wants to get all dressed up, she's got a high heel on this foot, this artificial foot, and a high heel that she puts on that shoe. So she can be fancy dressed up. All right, now you can go to Sunday school and find out more about some heroes of our faith. Yes.
Hey, reading from Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 82 responsively. God stands to charge the divine council assembled, giving judgment in the midst of the gods.
How long do you judge unjustly and show favor?
Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and the needy.
Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They wander about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
Now I say to you, you are gods, and all the children of the Most High.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince.
Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take all nations for your own.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, word of life.
Jesus said, I come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, if you're wondering how I'm going to preach that sermon, I'm taking the advice of the deacons and preaching on the book, the letter to the Hebrews. Our preschool program has, part of their program, they have a weekly theme. And I try to find a Bible story that connects with that theme as we do chapel time a couple times each week. When the theme is animals or family or ocean, you know, that's pretty easy. It's a little more of a stretch when the theme is circus or the Wild West. Not a lot of Bible stories there. But they always do a week called Heroes. And that's simple. I run right to Moses and Abraham and Esther. And the Bible is full of heroes. You probably didn't hear when I said to the children, go off and hear about more of the heroes of the faith. Chloe looked at me and said, oh, like Jesus? Sure, that's a good one to start with. You know, let's start there. They might hear about a few more. Well, a couple years ago, one of the teachers carrying the chapel theme into the classroom was continuing that story. And she was comparing those biblical heroes that I had talked about to popular superheroes. Like Superman. And then she went on to say that even today, we know some superheroes in our own lives. And she said, just like Lucas's daddy, he's a superhero because he helps people by putting out fires and rescuing people who are in danger. Well, Lucas just got this look on his face and he kind of pulled back and then he walked up quietly anxiously said to the teacher in a little whisper, teacher, my daddy doesn't fly. I was reminded of Lucas when reading this letter to the Hebrews. The writer is writing and trying very hard to encourage the Christian community that has already endured persecution and hardship, but was starting to lag in their enthusiasm. They were beginning to lag in their faithfulness. They were tempted to go backwards rather than forward. And the writer was writing to exhort them to keep on keeping on, to draw inspiration from those great heroes of the faith. And more important thing, the author says, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Chloe was right. After all, that already traveled road that Jesus trod in front of us, the pioneer of our faith that blazed a trail for us, has reached the goal that we are aiming for, heaven, that something better that we all hope for. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, and root your faith in assurance that God's purposes will unfold right before our eyes, unfold in our own lives. The author of Hebrews says that God certainly does reign in heaven and on earth. That kingdom, that reign, which we long for and pray for every time we say that prayer that Jesus taught us, that kingdom will surely come. But now, in the meantime, along the way, we know that there are difficult times. We're all going to be challenged, and we're going to face hardship, just as Jesus' own path was the way to the cross. But we never give up. The letter says, after all, look back on those who came before us. Look back to our ancestors in the faith. Look at what they had to endure. And they persevered. The Hebrew slaves escaping Egypt, crossing over the Red Sea and on dry land, and Joshua and his forces surrounding the walls of the city of Jericho, which came, like the song says, a tumbling down. And Rahab, an unlikely hero who risked her own life to save the spies that Joshua had sent out. And there are many more heroes, the writer says. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. By faith, they endured and accomplished great things. By faith, they suffered stoning and the sword. They went around about destitute and persecuted and tormented. But by faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war. All by faith, by trusting in God. They were superheroes. Or were they? Maybe we should be as cautious as Lucas and his superhero daddy who can't fly. What makes these stories so powerful for us is remembering that these people were not superhuman. They were simply human. They were human beings like us, flawed, weak, sinful, all the things that we are. Do you remember that Moses, the great hero of our faith, did not get to go into the promised land because he had lost faith in God? And those other heroes, those that are known not only for great deeds, but for other things as well. Hollywood movies and operas have been written about Samson and Delilah, and David and Bathsheba. Superheroes with super sins. So the fact that these great ancestors of ours could be deeply flawed and still deeply faithful can be very encouraging when we have to run such a long race. We need coaches. We need great coaches who understand that it is not by our power, and surely not by our superpowers. I don't know what your superpower is. Maybe you have one. God says the superpower that you have is faith. We know that it's not on our own that we can accomplish or endure or even live. No, it's only and always by the power of God, and with God we can accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. We don't run this race in vain, and we don't run it alone. This letter reminds us to take courage, to find strength, to seek inspiration, to let our spirits be lifted up by the assurance that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And of course, that cloud of witnesses contains more people than Barak and David and Gideon and Samson and those people that lived a long time ago and far, far away. The author of this letter is writing to a struggling congregation, and he seems to be saying, God is still speaking. There is a cloud of witnesses around you right now that you can see. Not just the biblical people from ancient days. Our church calendar lists out people for us to pay attention to for our edification, for our encouragement, for our strength. Last week, we had on August 13th was the feast day, the day of her death, of Florence Nightingale. And so I did a little reading about Florence Nightingale and was surprised that she, her family did not want her to go into nursing, which was not a very noble, not a noble occupation at all. But Florence went to Germany and was taught to be a nurse by the Lutherans. I didn't know that. And then she went back to England and reformed nursing and the medical field. On August 14th, we celebrated the memorial of Father Maximilian Kolb. He died in a concentration camp in 1941. He traded places with a young man, a father, and a husband. He exchanged places with him and went to the starvation line so that the other man could live. 2 weeks later, he was executed. Father Maximilian Kolb exchanged his life to give a life for someone else, held up as an example for us to be self-giving. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the translation of the Bible called The Message, writes about, says what we just heard in these words. God had a better plan for us, that their faith, that great cloud of witnesses, that their faith and our faith would come together and make one completed whole. Their lives of faith are not complete apart from ours. That means that what we do matters, not just to us, but to those who have gone before us, who are cheering us on as we run this race. And what we do matters to those who will follow us, who look to us to be examples of faith, to fortify them as they run the course. Not only because we tell them the stories of the heroes of long ago, but because we've added our own stories as well. Our faith is not apart from the faith of our descendants. We are part of something greater than ourselves, a bigger picture, a more ancient story. This last week, I've met with all of the confirmation candidates one-on-one as they've shared their faith statement with me, and we've talked about it. And what a delight to hear these young people, and you'll have that opportunity in a couple of weeks, to hear those young people saying what is important to them in their faith. And I'll tell you, not one person has not mentioned the community gathered here. That your faith that your attendance, that your attention really, really matters to the faith of these young people. And they're willing to share their faith because you have been willing to share your faith. As we hunger and thirst in this day for God's coming reign, for peace and healing in the world, in places that are close to home, in our own homes and neighborhoods, and in local and national governments, and in places far away like in Hong Kong and Cameroon and Afghanistan and Syria and governments around the world, we know that the race we run is long and hard, that wholeness sometimes seems like a far, far away place. Peace and justice are like things unseen. And yet faith, as this letter to the Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things unseen. We might stumble and even fall on our race, on our way, just like those heroes and saints of the past did. But we know that we are not alone, that our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and if we pay attention, we can feel the encouragement and the help of those who have gone before and those who are with us now. I've never run a marathon, but I've heard people talk about how important it is to remember the shoulder next to theirs who's running with them and encouraging them in their training. And then as they hear the people along the side cheering and encouraging them. Have any of you run a marathon or a half marathon? That kind of, is that true, what I just said? Is that the help from others is what helps you along the way? Think of that in your faith. That your faith, that what helps you along the way in your faith may not be someone carrying you or holding your hand, but the memory of that shoulder next to your shoulder who is encouraging, cheering you on. Feel the encouragement of those who have gone before us and those who are with us now. What an encouraging letter this is for us at St. Peter's during this time of transition. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. 70-some years of community here. What a great witness. We know we have nothing to fear. That God has not abandoned his people in the past, and that promise and that trust that Jesus, who is the pioneer, the trailblazer, the perfecter of our faith, is with us and for us today and always. Amen.